What should we as Christians expect and prepare our hearts for in this new year? What do you think this new year is going to have for us? Is it going to be a good one or a bad one? Is it going to be similar to last year or different? Is it going to be smooth or filled with challenges? Is it going to be a good year for the world and our country or not a good world here for our world and our country? Will we see defeat or victory in this next year? What does God tell us about that today through His Word? What good and helpful words does our God and Creator and Savior have to speak to us today as we head into this new year together? So let's take a look at that and see what our Lord would tell us by His Word. Well, the first thing God teaches us in His Scriptures about the year to come, what to expect and prepare for in it, is that no one can know precisely what this new year is going to bring, at least in the precise details of it, for God has hidden these things from all flesh. Let's read that actually in the Scriptures then. Over here, James chapter 4. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we'll go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and get gain, whereas you don't know about tomorrow. So you don't know about tomorrow. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, then we shall live and we shall do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So God does not allow us to know precisely what is coming in 2023. That's hidden from man. It's not revealed to human beings. It's not something disclosed to all flesh. It is something God knows, but we don't know. And that goes right along with what we read in Proverbs 27. It says, do not boast about tomorrow, for you don't know what a day may bring forth. Now, is that a good or a bad thing, by the way, not to know the future? I think that's the best. Because think of this. If God told us ahead of time, hey, you're going to sail through this next year. It's going to be so easy, so blessed. You might then take that knowledge. We might, that is, and drift from Christ, let down our guard. That wouldn't be good, so we don't want to know that. And if God said, oh, it's going to be a really rough year for you, you're going to face terrible troubles and dangers and perils, then, again, we might be paralyzed with fear knowing the future. But rather, God sets it up absolutely the best for us by saying, I'm keeping this from you, that you stick close to me, and it's going to be a great year. You and me going joyfully together into it, but adventurously, you don't know the future, I do, follow me. And what do we read in Scripture? We walk by faith, not by sight. And that actually is the absolute best, so thank you, God, for not revealing to us all the precise details of 2023. We look forward to going into it with you with an adventurous heart, trusting in our Savior as we go. Amen? Amen. That's number one. But does that mean we can't know anything about the future? No, God does tell us things to expect in this next year. And here's one of them, for example. Let's look at this one. Proverbs 19, verse 21 says this, many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that shall be established. So what can we expect as Christians heading into 2023? God's purposes for it, His will be established. His purposes shall triumph in 2023. Is that good news for the Christian? Yeah. Absolutely good news, because God's will is always good for us. And that's fantastic, because, you know, a lot of people that are in the world today, as you well know, are evil. And they got a lot of money. And they got a lot of evil plans, as I'm sure you guys know. But what does God say? Let's borrow from Ezekiel 20, verse 32. He says to them, what is in your mind shall never happen. He says to the wicked, you're planning things. Isaiah 8, verse 10, devise your strategy, but it will be thwarted. Purpose your plans, but it shall not stand. And again, in Psalm 33, verse 10, it says, the Lord makes the plans of the heathen come to nothing. That's good news, wouldn't you say? I know that there's a lot of wicked people out there in the world today, and they got not good plans for us in 2023, but God's rule, God's will, His purpose, that shall be established, not theirs. And so we rejoice in that. So how about our plans? Are our plans going to be established? Well, if they're in accordance with His will, We read in Proverbs 16, "Commit your work to the Lord and your plans shall be established," which is great news. If your plans are in accordance with his word, he'll make them happen and come to pass. If they're not, and he has something better, well, we want that anyway. So he's got the best in mind for his Christians in 2023, because it's the purpose of the Lord that shall be established. That's point number two. But how about this? Can we know some more precise details of what's going to come to us in 2023 that we as Christians can prepare our hearts for? Well, are we going to expect, do you think, good or bad experiences? Easy or hard? Joyful or troubling? Is it going to be pleasant or full of challenges, difficulties, and sufferings for us? What can we know of that? Well, one thing God tells us for sure is you should expect, as Christians, under his captaincy, good things to come your way. What good things? Well, he tells us in his word, this isn't just a crapshoot. This isn't like just wishful thinking. He promises us certain things. For example, as just a couple of them, he guarantees us that the world will continue to the end of time. Namely, in Genesis 8, he said, "In the days of Noah, I'll never again curse the earth, the ground, because of man. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I ever again destroy ever living creatures I've done while the earth remains. Seed time and harvest, cold and winter, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease." So he guarantees, until Christ comes on the last day, this present earth will continue. That's good news. How about this one? He'll continue to bless the earth, because we read in Psalm 65, verse 11, "Thou crownest the year with thy bounty, the pastures of the wilderness drip thy chariots, wheels, etc. The hills gird themselves with joy. He makes the outgoings of the morning and the evening to shout for joy." You can expect great sunrises and great sunsets. It is the Lord's will. He will make it beautiful and glorious in these ways, crowning nature with his blessing. And he's going to watch over you, specifically in Jesus Christ. For guess what? He's already saved you. He chose you from the foundation of the world to be saved in him. And now you're justified by grace through faith in the name of Jesus Christ. He's not going to lose you now. He has promised that he who began a good work in you and is doing it this year will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. He's going to continue to be with you, to mold and shape you, to guard and keep you, to lift you up into the image of Jesus Christ and for an eternal inheritance with him. Also, he's going to forgive your sins every day. Isn't that great? Do we need that? We always have faults and sins, but as we confess them, 1 John chapter 1 promises he is faithful. He is just every day to forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. To give you a brand new start every day this year, if you confess your sins, it'll be fresh and clean in the Lord. You'll be free and light into the joy of the Lord in the forgiveness of your sins. For the steadfast love of the Lord to you is never going to cease. His mercies never come to an end. They're new every morning, says Jeremiah. He's going to guard and keep you. For David says, "Thou dost bless the righteous, O Lord. Thou dost cover him with favor as with a shield." Isn't that great? And he's going to be faithful to you every day, because you know this promise, "I'm with you always to the close of the age." So the Lord your God, who is with you, who has saved you in Christ, goes before you to make a way for you through 2023. We have great courage, therefore, and confidence for good things. I think you should expect them. And you know why 2023 will be especially great? Because God's in it. And every day with God's a great God, a great day, because he's a great God. And so every day with him is good. So expect a great year that way. Next point, though. So we then expect that it'll be altogether easy? Or will there be challenges to you, difficulties, hardships, and troubles too? Should we prepare our hearts for that? What's God say to us? Well, let's read that in Acts chapter 14, 21. When Paul and Barnabas had preached the gospel to the city of Derbe and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of his disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. So should we expect, Christians, many tribulations this year? Sure. It's part of the promise in the word. You know, last year had some difficulties. Amen? You had difficulties. This year shall be no different. God shall have also tribulations that we have to go through this year as well. But is it going to be easier or harder than last year, do you think? Is it going to be lesser or greater, these tribulations? Well, we read in the book of Job that man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upwards. So just like a fire has sparks coming off it, yeah, we're going to have troubles in our personal lives, just the way it goes in this world. But also, we got to understand as well our time in history, like we looked at last night if you were here, that we are heading, I believe, towards the very last of the last days. What do we see in Scripture? We see that John the Apostle, 2,000 years ago, said these words to the Christians. Children, it is the last hour. And as you've heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that it is the last hour. That was how long ago? 2,000 years ago, last hour. What should we call the last days? What should we call our days but the last of the last days? Amen? I mean, it's 2,000 years later. We're that much closer. And we looked last night also. It's as if we are pilgrims on the Mayflower, sailing across the sea from England, the old world, the start of the world, all the way across the sea of time, history, across the Atlantic, on this world, sailing the ship all the way over, and of course they landed in Provincetown, but they're coming to the new world, the land of the free, the place, their home and destination. We're sailing across the seas of time. The Scriptures teach that as we approach the coast, it is well predicted that there will be stormier weather and rougher seas. Are we actually getting close, do you think, to the new world, to the return of Christ and the eternal kingdom? Are we coming to the end of the time of our present age in history? Well, you know, it's been 2,000 years from Adam to Abraham, 2,000 years Abraham to Christ, 2,000 years Christ to us. My, that looks symmetrical and beautiful. And on the seventh day, God rested, we read, the eternal rest of his people. So as we're sailing along as pilgrims, indeed we are pilgrims in this world, amen? We don't belong here, we're traveling through this world. And as they approached the coast, they could see in the waters driftwood. They could see seabirds flying, land birds, some of them. They could smell the scent of the pine trees and the fresh sea breeze. They know they were drawing close to shore. And we, looking at the signs of our times, I believe, can say we are indeed approaching the coast. And so we need to stand our watch and be alert on deck. So what kinds of things, though, are we to expect as we approach the coast, as we come close to the return of Christ, as pilgrims are almost about to make landfall and drop anchor in the kingdom of joy forever? Well, towards the coast, it is predicted, according to the Scriptures, you know it well, Matthew 24, wars, rumors of wars, famines, pestilences, false Christs, false teachers, these are to abound in the world. Sound like our world today? Well, let's look more specifically at this one. You might not know them as this one as well. 2 Timothy 3. God says, expect these things as you approach the coast, as you come to the end of the age. But understand this, says Paul to Timothy, that in the last days there will come times of stress. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, inhuman, implacable, slanderers, profligates, fierce, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding the form of religion but denying the power of it. Avoid such people. And basically, as for you, continue in the good way, following Paul's aim in life and serve Christ, etc. But so, let's take a look at this prediction of the stormy weather and the rough seas as we approach the coast, the end of this world. What are we to expect as end times Christians? Well, he says, in the last days there'll come times of stress. That's the RSV. The ESV translates it, times of difficulty. The King James says, perilous times. That's stormy weather. The word in the Greek is kalapos. The word means violent times, fierce times, grievous times, times hard to bear. It's the same word actually used in Matthew 8, verse 28, of the demoniac who was wild and difficult. For we read, when Jesus came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes, two demoniacs met him coming out of the tombs, so fierce, so chalapos, that no one could pass that way. Are you prepared to go through enemy territory, through fierce and perilous times? God tells us, prepare your hearts for that, my people, because it is so predicted of that part of the coast. Times of violence expected. And with that, there's an increase and an escalation, it seems, in demonic activity as I read the scriptures, because they know that their time is very short before the Lord comes on the final day to dispatch them with his sword. And so they are marshaling their forces with all frenetic activity to do what mischief they can before they are gone forever. And that also inspires men in the end times to be more and more evil. We read that they'll be lovers of self, lovers of money. Going after worldly passions and powers, accumulating what strength they can for this life. That's what they're after. Number one is themselves. Proud and arrogant, which means pride will reach a zenith, which is the worst thing of all, really, isn't it? Because what keeps man from God? It's pride. When God destroys pride, then man is humbled and he cries out for a savior. But pride will reach a zenith. Then they'll be abusive, which means hurtful and reviling. Blasphemous in the Greek, blasphemers, speaking evil of Christ and his word. Disobedient to parents. You see that kind of thing? Rebellion in the world against order, against law, against tradition. There's a lawlessness and a violence toward the ends of time, a rebellion against authority. They'll be ungrateful and unholy, meaning they don't give any thanks to God, zero. And rather, they're dirty and filthy. Inhuman, astrogos in the Greek, which means like animals, or even worse than animals. I love, this is interesting, if you look at the Greek, it means heartless, having no love of family, devoid of family love. Do we see that thing in the world today? An attack upon families. We see that in Antifa's original website. Their chief goal, one of them, was to destroy the nuclear family, mom, dad, and child. And of course, even we see that in Disney these days, unfortunately. They'll be hostile to the family, haters of good, implacable, not able to be pleased, slanderers, speaking evil of people, bringing up false charges out of nowhere to slander and destroy reputations. We see that in the media at all? Fierce, brutal, haters of good, not able to stomach anything wholesome and upright, but vomiting out old morals and ingesting wickedness. Treacherous, betrayers, it means. Traitors, unfaithful, heartbreakers. They'll be reckless, it says. Namely, you ever find people are not able to carry on a rational conversation anymore, but they just get all hot and steamy and storm off in anger against you? They can't carry on a normal conversation. Well, they're reckless and rash, rushing into matters with emotion only. Swollen with conceit, inflated with pride, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And here's the big one. Holding the form of religion, but denying the power of it. In other words, we should expect towards the end of time the great falling away from the church, where there'll still be buildings, there'll still be robes or crosses or church services and banners and such things, but they'll be denying the master who bought them and teaching contrary to the word and departing from the gospel and turning after instead wickedness and selling their souls for money and all evil to things that don't profit. Like the Antichrist of Revelation 13, they'll have two horns like a lamb, looking like a Christian, but they'll speak like a dragon, like the devil. So I want to ask, these are the predictions by our captain on the ship of the church as we cross the seas of time, as we head towards the coast and get closer to shore. Are you ready to bear up all these things if they should come in 2023? You know, the Bible says the wheat, the righteous, and the tares, the wicked, they both grow up together towards the end of time. God lets both righteousness increase and wickedness also come to full fruit until the day of the harvest. Are you prepared to bear with such things if they should come in 2023? Well, what's the good news about all these things? Oh, this really just has nothing to do with our world, right? Absolutely nothing. All these things I've just said, or God said, nah, our world is peachy keen, well-ordered, full of tradition, Christian principles abound at every turn. It's no problem, right? Well, actually, it seems as if, as we read that we're just looking at the news, reading the newspaper, watching MSNBC or whatever. You know, when I came here in 2005, half of the states of our country still said it's one man, one woman equals marriage. Only two genders. Now we got more by the day. You've got drag queens, unfortunately, in churches, holding the form of religion but denying the power of it. Cross-dressing pastors I've seen. Bishops that want to be called a they when it's only a single person. Hello, you're a singular, not a double. But so they say. The world elites and all these people, they've bought into the woke agenda, hook, line, and sinker. And if you don't go along with their violence, they won't let you travel or do anything else. You have to comply, they say. We will force you to do so. So it looks as if, so far, that these things, we are drawing near the coast, which is a wondrous word for us, that we as Christians, as sailors, are all the more courageous, all the more alert, all of them are ready, that we're drawing near to our destination. And God is going to keep us through all of these things. But are you ready for it? Well, on the one hand, you know, a lot of things in our world seem to be getting better, actually. People are turning away from wokeness. They are turning to the right. Some, many turning back to Christianity, which is a great thing to see. But at the same time, the same people that have brought us a lot of evil in the last couple of years that we didn't expect, well, they're still alive, they're still around, and they're still planning their wicked and evil ways. And we know as we get towards the very edge of the coast, this prediction will come true, Revelation 13. The whole earth will follow the beast, that is the spirit of Antichrist, with wonder, saying, "Who is like the beast and who can fight against it?" They will say, except for one group that is found faithful to God, the Christians, who stare it down and say, no, we are faithful to our King. So why does God tell us these things ahead of time as we head into 2023? They may not happen, or they might, but sometime they will before we reach the return of our Lord, and we've got to be ready for them. God says, I tell you all this in my word ahead of time so that when it comes, you can just look upon it with a steady eye and say, been there, seen that, already seen it in the word, no big deal. Because you already know it's coming, you're ready for it. So be ready for it if it should come. And you can look upon it with an eye of courage. Why? Because we have a captain with us. And as I said, he's going to bless this next year marvelously for you. For he says, of these things that you read, the days at the very edge of the coast, as we head to the new world, will be hard to bear, but they're not unbearable. You will be able to endure by me. We have a great captain, friends. You have a gospel armor that's upon you that's invincible and a sword that has never been turned back, the word of God. You need to keep to Christ this year. Keep to his word. Keep to prayer. Our captain will keep you with all courage. And for added courage, he says, as you cross the sea, consider this. The people of Israel in the Old Testament were just like you. They lived a model of your days. They were in Egypt for a long time and prospered, as the church has lived a long time in the world and prospered. Towards the end of their sojourn in Egypt, as the time drew close for them to depart to the promised land, Pharaoh grew harsher and more grievous against them, more aggressive by the day and nastier. He was an evil one. When God sent judgments upon Pharaoh, though, to bring his people out safely, look at how he dealt with his people. He kept them as the apple of his eye. For we read, when God sent swarms of flies upon Egypt on that day, he says, I will set apart the land of Goshen where my people dwell, so that there shall be no swarms of flies there, that you may know that there is a God in the midst of all the earth. Is there a God watching over you this year? Indeed he will. He sent hail, but only in the land of Goshen where my people dwell, there shall be no hail, said the Lord. The Lord said to Moses, "Now stretch out your hand and put darkness over all the earth, a thick darkness to be felt over the land of Egypt." But he said, but we read, "But all the people of Israel had light where they dwelt." In other words, you're heading into 2023. Even if the world, okay, should get crazier, I assume it probably will, you look on it with a steady eye because you are the apple of God's eye. He is keeping an eye on you to protect you and make a distinction. The greatest of them all was the Passover when God said, "I'm about to go and at midnight slay all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from Pharaoh's son to the maidservant's son to the firstborn of the cattle. But against any of the people of Israel, either man or beast, not a dog shall growl, that you may know that the Lord makes a distinction between the Egyptians and Israel." Isn't that great? Our God, who is going with you into 2023, his eye, you are the apple of his eye, to guard you, to keep you, to protect you through all the last days, like a captain on a ship, seeing you through all stormy weathers that might come safely ashore. This is the confidence that we have going into the year. And what made the distinction between Israel and the Egyptians? The blood of the lamb that was shed for them. For God told Moses, "Take the blood of the lamb, put it upon your doorposts and lintels. When I pass through to smite the land, I'll look upon that blood and I'll see it and I'll pass over you. And the plague shall not harm you at all." Same thing with us. We have the blood of the lamb upon us. Peter says, "You were ransomed, you Christians, from the futile ways inherited from your fathers, not with perishable things like silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot." We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ by the blood that has reconciled us. And we conquer the devil and all of his forces by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony, for we love not our lives even unto death. He keeps you because the blood of Christ is upon you. That is, you have believed on him, been justified in his name, and I tell you, there is a God in Israel. There is a God over all the earth who's going to watch over every second of 2023 for you to bring you safely through it. You know why? He is a faithful captain. His word, his name is faithful and true. He cannot but be faithful to see you safely through and victorious. And we know that that final time when they passed through a sea that seemed unsurpassable, unendurable, one that they could not bear, God drove the sea back by a strong east wind all the night. And the people of Israel went through the midst of the sea on dry ground, the waters being a wall to them on their right and on their left. But when hard-hearted Pharaoh and his evil army entered after them, not going in by faith, they themselves were drowned, and Israel came out victorious on the seashore on the other side. God goes before you, friends, as a captain, and with you every step to chart your course, to sail you safely through. And what we need to focus on as Christ Lutheran Church this year is Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. And on his gospel. And we're drawing to a close here. So hear the marvelous words that are going to triumphantly lead us through this year. Romans 3. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But we are justified. That is, we are justified by his grace as a free gift through the redemption that's in Jesus Christ, whom God put forward as an atoning sacrifice by his blood, to be received by faith. God says to you, "You are now mine, I am yours, I'm your captain, you're my crew. Let's sail together into the brand new year and into the world to come." So what is 2023 going to hold for us? We don't know, can't know precisely. We have marvelous promises of good to us from God with tribulations, but God says you're going to get safely through. We say, we won't fear though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea. Why? Because God's our refuge and strength. He's a very present help to us in trouble. Be strong, God says. Be courageous. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And we know that very soon we shall come safe ashore, safe and sound in his kingdom, as David says. We'll conclude with this. We believe that we shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, and that on a day soon to come. In Jesus' name, amen.